Good morning, church.
Good morning.
The phone says change or rotate my device. You can't rotate it when you're live. I'm hoping it's going to be okay. Amen? What's that? Good. We'll just let it roll. All right? Good morning. Good to see you. Good to see everyone that's in Facebook church this morning. Blessings to you. Just want to give a special shout out to anyone that's watching. May you sense the Spirit of God ministering to you as we're ministering here in a group, as a group together. God has a way of working on all things together to bring glory to Christ and advance the kingdom. We're a part of it, and that's a wonderful thing. Amen? Stand with me, please. We're going to ask God's blessing upon this, his service, and remain standing and worship him in praise this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, what a beautiful day that you've granted us an opportunity to be in your house, to sing praises to you, to seek your face, to listen for your voice, to feel your touch upon our hearts and our lives, to be encouraged and challenged and blessed and helped and healed, and to be a part of what God only you can do, and that's take us from where we are and draw us closer to you through the saving, amazing grace of Jesus Christ, and for that we celebrate. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you to come and work in and through our hearts for the glory of Christ, I pray. And for what's accomplished today, we're going to give you praise in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's sing together, Great Are You, Lord.
To the darkness, you give hope. You
Amen. Let's continue to praise the Lord this morning.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. The darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me.
Extend that West Olive wave to one another this morning, and then you may be seated. And as Ken comes to do the announcements, I want to interject one this morning. Our task force Hey, let's connect after the service for about 10 minutes, right outside the door, right over here. So right after the service, task force, outside the door there.
Okay, I'm just going to do a couple of highlights on these things. One, we have a National Day of Prayer. West Olive Township sent this to us, and it's May 6th. So keep that in mind, with details there. And the other one I want to highlight is the South Olive Christian Schools. My wife told me that I didn't have the place in there and that she thought we were going to do it here, but we're not. It's at West Olive Christian Schools. They're doing a parking lot sale. So just to make sure that you understand that that's not here, it's at West Olive Christian Schools. On the
South Olive Church, which is Port Sheldon 120th, right?
Yeah. I'm saying that wrong. I'm sorry. Okay, South Olive Christian Schools. Sorry. May 22. So, anyway, that's it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Praises and prayer requests. Cal's uncle passed away this morning, and they've had a lot of death in the family lately. And so pray for the whole family to be blessed. And a very, very good friend of mine has been battling bone cancer for the last 2 years. She's on chemo, and she went to Virginia and got COVID. And she's in ICU with very low oxygen level and very, very low kidney function. So if you'd be in prayer for Margaret, I'd appreciate it. She'd been fighting really, really hard. It would be a shame for COVID to take her out after she's been battling cancer for 2 years. So any other praises or... Okay, her uncle Jack has COVID and he's on a ventilator, so prayers for him also. Anyone else? Kathy? Milt's brother Ed, they're going to be traveling back from Florida, and he has stomach cancer, and things are not real good right now. So,
Rhett, just a note for the congregation, our dear B here, low blood counts as she's battling the leukemia that she wrestles with, okay? We were informed that, or she personally informed me that she came in close contact with COVID, but is not showing any signs many days after the event. So we're rejoicing in that, continuing to pray for B. And I'm rejoicing in the fact that my lovely wife is back with me. She's been a week in Florida taking care of her mother, and that's always nice. So,
thank you.
Yep.
Anything else? Kathy? Okay, so Kathy's grandson, wife, and kids are fighting COVID right now also. So it's not over yet. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you.
Let's prepare our hearts for prayer just right where we're at. Let's sing, "There is a Redeemer."
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving
Before I start prayer, I'd like to invite anyone who has any prayer needs that want personal one-on-one prayer can come down to the new prayer room downstairs in the basement after church. And you can call. My phone number is in the bulletin, and you can call me anytime for during the week one-on-one prayer. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with many requests. And, Lord, we ask you to touch the hearts, the minds, the spirits, the bodies of all those we've mentioned this morning. Bless us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let your healing power just flow through us and all those mentioned, healing us from the tip of our head to the tip of our toes. Lord, we ask you to bless Cal's and my family as we mourn the passing of Cal's uncle. And anyone else that's lost a loved one, the Rinkamas especially lately, Lord, we ask you to bless and touch those battling cancer, and especially Margaret as she battles not only cancer but COVID. We lift up all the people that have been mentioned with COVID this morning, Lord. Please help to eradicate that pandemic. Just keep us safe from the germs, Lord. Place a germ bubble around us and heal those who have it. We just speak life to them and restoration of their bodies in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask you to boost their immune systems. Fill the doctors and the healthcare professionals and the families. Fill them with wisdom as to how to fight this disease for those that are battling it, Lord. Lord, we lift up the students, the teachers, and the bus drivers. It's been a really, really difficult school year. And bless those that have been at home and away from their friends and away from the sports that they've poured their hearts and their bodies into for years. Bless them, Lord, and help them to find comfort in you, Lord. Help them to come out of their depressions. Help them to get back with friends and enjoy life again. And Lord, we ask you to bless any people that are traveling this next week, especially Kathy's family as they travel back from Florida. And Lord, it's allergy season in a brutal way. It's just the allergies have gone berserk the last few days, Lord. So just bless our immune systems, Father, as we fight the allergies, because they bring our immune systems down and it's easier to catch colds and the flu and whatever else is going around, Lord. So just boost our immune systems and help us fight off the allergens and find relief. So thank you, Father, for all these answered prayers in the name of Jesus.
Yep, it's all God's older kids today, so that'll work too. We just finished the Ten Commandments, and in these next several weeks, I want to share during the children's message time the Beatitudes, and they're quite interesting. And so we're going to be getting right this morning in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside, he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. I want to begin right there, right at the beginning of the Beatitudes, and I want to parallel with the text, the message by Eugene Peterson to add more clarity to what is transpiring here, and the message reads this way. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving in a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. Three words in there are very interesting, and they are these. First of all, the apprenticed. And I looked at that word and I says, interesting. Do you know what apprentice means? Anybody? What's that? Student. What else?
Training.
In training. Okay. The disciples. Okay. Here's another word. Apprentice is any beginner. Any beginner. I don't know where you may be in a walk with Jesus, those of you who are here, those of you who are watching, but an apprentice, any beginner. Were these disciples beginners? Yeah. And in a sense, let's be honest with ourselves. We haven't figured this thing out yet. Have you figured this thing out yet, Larry? Huh? Are we still learning? Huh? So we're in a good place, gang. All right? I don't mind being called an apprentice of Jesus. I've only been serious about this thing since 1986. I got a ways to go yet. You quit laughing. All right? Apprentice. We're all together in that. Then it goes on to say the committed. The committed. No, they're not the guys that you put white coats on and tuck them away. That's not what he's talking about. A willingness. A willingness to follow Jesus to new heights. After all, where did Jesus go? He climbed up on a mountainside. He went to a higher plane. And in reality, that's what God the Father wants to have happen in our hearts and lives through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, in that God wants to, watch this, draw us to himself. He wants to take us to a higher plane of understanding of who he is and what it is that he wants to accomplish in and through our lives as individuals, but more than that, in and through our lives as his body of believers. And that's what these Beatitudes are all about. And then it goes on to say, he taught his climbing companions. In a sense, what did they do? They what? They followed Jesus. They walked with Jesus to a higher plane, being reminded of the fact any place that Jesus is a great place to be. And walking with Jesus enables us, watch this, to know more about him. What say we? Let's be climbing companions with Jesus. Amen? As apprentices, learning more about him, being committed in what it is that he wants to have happen in our lives, and ultimately be raised to a higher plane in a relationship with Jesus. All of God's people said, amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord this morning as we sing Ancient Words. Down to this end,
to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our world in this world. They reside.
Folks are singing wonderfully well today. You're a blessing. Scripture text for the message this morning comes out of the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. It's a long chapter in the book of John. And the Bible records these words for us. Simon Peter answered Jesus, and he said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." You have, God, the words of eternal life. And as I was putting this together, I couldn't help but hear the words resonating in my mind, words that were sung many, many years ago in a little church just over there in Zeeland. And the words are these: "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life." Pray with me, church. Lord Jesus, in these next few moments, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide us through these eternal words of yours, these words of life, these words that are given us, Father, for life, to sustain us, to guide us, to direct us, to lead us into all truth, to draw us closer to you in a relationship, both as individuals and a body of believers. And so, Father, just may that happen in and through us, here in this place, and to those that are watching now and later, God, that Christ himself would touch us at our very core and something would happen. We'd be transformed and become more like Jesus, I pray. Work all things together for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Milt, I don't know if you can hear this, but there's a humming going on in here. Can you, what's that? Can you turn that, can you back us off just a little bit? Hopefully we won't go boom. Still humming. What's humming? How's that? Okay, can you hear me? I'll just talk loud, okay? People said, "You don't need a mic, Pastor, just talk loud." Okay, good. If you read John chapter 6, you will notice something is transpiring in the lives of the disciples, in the ministry of Jesus, all right? Things are moving to the point where Jesus is going to be communicating the reality of why he came. There is obstacles before them. There are obstacles before all of those who are following Jesus. He makes a pretty profound statement about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood, talking about a deeper commitment of what is going to be needed in the hearts and lives of the disciples. And then in verse 66 of that chapter, and I just had a chuckle, John chapter 6, verse 66. 666. Bad number, all right? Just saying. All right? The Bible says this: from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him because of all that was transpiring, the obstacles that they were experiencing. A commentary note on that is this: difficulties. Does anybody here know anything about difficulties? Raise your hand this morning. Those of you watching on Facebook, do you know anything about difficulties? Difficulties or obstacles, loved one, will reveal the depth of our commitment to Jesus Christ. Turn up the heat in our hearts and our lives, and it really exposes where we are in that relationship. Are you all right? Come on. Take a look at that picture up there. You notice the word obstacle up there. Obstacle. Talk to me this morning. The pathway, that little guy that's in the forefront there, the pathway, where does that pathway go? It goes where? It goes over the top. It goes up and over. This is good, encouraging news. Jesus, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, presence of Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives, he guides us and directs us. And his desire when we come to face obstacles is to go up and over through his power, not down and under through defeat. Give God praise this morning. That's where he wants to lead us, is up and over, all right? That's the pathway that he wants us to follow. We are here, hence the title of the message. Just the reality that we are here in the midst of this, experiencing all that is happening. We are here and have and continue to face obstacles that are at work within our world, right here, right where we are. Obstacles that are at work within our world, and those obstacles are to afflict the kingdom of God and keep the kingdom of God from moving forward in our hearts and our lives. You okay? Now take a deep breath. Settle in. Relax a little bit. Don't get prickly on me, okay? Hang on. Just some wild and heavy duty obstacles that are at play within our world. The philosophy and thought of Marxism, socialism, and communism are active obstacles in our world right here. They're the forces behind a lot of stuff that we are seeing in our world right now, all right? Our young people through universities are being inundated with this type of philosophy and thought. It is ungodly. It is right from the heart of the enemy, and its desire is to thwart the kingdom of God. That's the first one. Another obstacle in our world is MSM. MSM, which stands for the mainstream media that continues to lie and spread dissension and doubt. And a whole lot of God's people are inundated with this stuff throughout the week, day in and day out. And all the enemy wants to do is drop a seed of doubt in our hearts and our minds just to get us off track a little bit. And he's been using that instrument as an obstacle to thwart the kingdom of God. And I don't know how many times it was mentioned yet for prayer this morning, the plague that's in our world. A tool designed to destroy people's lives and threaten to advance the kingdom of God. Obstacles. Hard times, difficulties. Nothing's really changed in our world. The disciples were facing the same thing back then. We're facing the same thing today. And here's what I want you to know. Even though we are facing these obstacles, even though they're right here, they're a reality of our world, the eternal words of Jesus still resound to us and for us today. Hear the words of Jesus who said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Boy, that was a weak clap. Let's get with it, church. Come on. To that end, loved one, our confidence must remain firmly established in Jesus Christ. Despite a tyrannical government that exists, Jesus says, I will build my church. Despite a media that lies in everything that they communicate, Jesus says, I will build my church. Despite a worldwide pandemic which has afflicted all of us, Jesus still says, I will build my church. And in the process of building his church, in the face of these obstacles, Jesus invites you and me to be an intricate part of this process. And to that end, we must understand the following. So if you've got your outline before you, or just a great listening ear, three things this morning, okay? Three things that are powerful that we need to understand as we are here. We're here, gang, and this is what we have a privilege to be a part of. Jesus building his church. And in that, we are here to know contentment in the Lord. We are here to know contentment in the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Hear the invitation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weak and heavy laden, are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. First of all, we need to notice that Jesus' invitation is for everyone. He extends that invitation to everyone because all of us have been adversely affected by this thing called sin. The Bible reminds us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My sinfulness and your sinfulness produces weariness and burdens in our lives. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we would be willing to respond to Jesus' invitation, there's some great results that happen. Responding to Jesus' invitation results in you and me experiencing rest for our souls. When's the last time you found yourself just being extremely weary, extremely tired from exerting yourself throughout the day? And you got towards the afternoon, early evening of the day, maybe took a hot shower, climbed up in your favorite chair, and you got a cold glass of ice water sitting there, and you found yourself going, huh. How would you like to experience that on a regular basis, every day of your life? Loved one, that's an illustration of contentment, and you and I can experience that in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Embracing Jesus' parameters that he's talking about in this invitation. That's his way of doing things in our lives. He says, take my yoke upon you. Here's the parameter that I'm designing for you to live in. Results in you and I experiencing contentment in our lives. And then learning from Jesus results in us experiencing contentment in our lives. He says, learn from me. Learn how to do life from me. Learn how to live life through me. And then we need to know that there is no weariness, no burden in responding to Jesus, being reminded that he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And to that end, we can experience contentment. You see, we are here, loved one, to know contentment in the Lord. We've had a great Bible study going on Wednesday night, Zoom Bible study, where we're looking at the 7 days of creation. And last week, we zeroed in on God's ultimate creation again, which was mankind, and how God took man and put him in a garden that he had prepared for man. And there's some great truth in this. And so let me draw your attention back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, talking about God's plan of contentment for you and I in his creation. The Bible says the Lord God took the man that he had created and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And this is what we learned in the context of that study. We learn that God commanded man to work. It's in God's plan that mankind would work. Work the garden and take care of it. And we also learn this great truth that the oldest profession in history is gardening. Let it sink in. All right, you'll get it. All right. We learn that serving God is at the very core, the very purpose of our lives. And that the work that God commanded the man to do, watch this, was easy, it was enjoyable, and it was fulfilling. God's creation experienced contentment in being obedient to God and doing what God had ordained him to do. Also, work in the Garden of Eden was physically ideal before the curse came along. Until Adam and Eve sinned and ate from the tree they were told not to eat from. And so even in that, we learned how God was ahead of the curve in preparing a way for man's redemption and reconciliation and restoration. In fact, we've learned a lot here in this study. How God established the beauty of his creation, but knowing ahead of time what would transpire and put into place that plan of redemption for humanity that would sin. And today, in the world where we live, we are affected by the curse. We are affected by obstacles. We are affected by ungodliness and the evil that exist in our hearts and our lives. But in the midst of all of that, be reminded of what Jesus said. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he has given us the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. We talked about him last week and all of his characteristics and learned of him, Holy Spirit 101, and what is ours and who is ours and how we can experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And today, amidst all of the obstacles that we may face, amidst the difficulties that are in our world, we can still experience contentment in the Lord through the ministry, the power, the person, and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And we can live in contentment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being reminded again of what Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Loved one, to know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and that you are doing exactly what he has commanded you to do results in the fact that you will experience awesome contentment in the Lord. You know where you are, or you know you are where you belong. You know you are where you belong. There is no competition to try to distract you. You're in your lane. You're doing what God has asked you to do. And in the midst of that, God blesses you with contentment. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Huh? Convince me. Come on. If you're not experiencing that, you and I need to talk, all right? Because this is available for everyone who would be willing to follow Jesus up the mountain, be his climbing companion, and be taught by him. We're here. We're here to know contentment in the Lord. Second of all, this morning, we are here to engage in the Lord's mission for his ministry. It's his ministry. It's his church. It's his kingdom. Right? Huh? Right? Absolutely. Say yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. There we go. Take a look at that word mission. What jumps out at you over there? What's going on? They're walking. They're moving. That's a good thing. Okay. What else? Following God. Who's holding up the signs? All of them. That's what I want to point out. Everybody's got a hand in the mission. Everybody's doing something. Everybody's doing their part. All right? It's not for we four no more. It's for all who would come and follow Jesus. There's something for everyone to do in the kingdom of God, and everyone needs to be doing something in the kingdom of God. It's, again, it's rising off of our blessed assurance and engaging in his ministry. All right? You all right with that this morning? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus said these words, "Love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbors yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The picture that you see on your left, on your right, my right, your right, on your right there, okay, is hanging on that wall right there when you walk into this place to remind you of the fact that our mission here is Jesus' mission and what he's called us to do through that statement right there in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, that we are to love Jesus, we're to love people, and we're to serve the world in the midst of all of the obstacles and difficulties that we find ourselves in right now. Because in the midst of that, Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if my people who are called by my name will engage in my mission for my church, there's going to be some wonderful things." It's all about loving Jesus, first of all. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. There's no punishment in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation in knowing Christ in a personal way. That's been taken care of. Because right at the root of that is sinfulness, and Jesus came to die for sin. If we embrace what Jesus did, he said he will forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The one who fears has not had the cleansing power of Jesus applied to his heart and his life. We love, we are able to love, we are able to love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved us. And what we need to understand is Jesus is always, always taking the initiative. Jesus always comes and meets us where we are. Especially when we get hard-headed and stumble and walk away a little bit. He'll come and get us. Saw an interesting clip on YouTube last week, Ken. Interesting clip. Here's a trench. Here's a trench alongside the road. And believe it or not, there's a sheep down in this trench. And the shepherd comes along and he pulls that sheep up out of the trench, and the sheep goes running off, probably runs about 10 yards and jumps right back into the stinking trough again. Isn't that so much like us? God comes and digs us out and gets us out of a rut, and we get going again, and it's not long after that we find ourselves back in that rut. Come on, church. We need to understand that Jesus came and he gave us the Holy Spirit of God to keep us out of the rut. Oh, by the way, do you know what a definition of a rut is? It's a grave with the ends kicked out. The same. We are here. The good news, Jesus is here. He meets us here. And he gives us all that we stand in need of so that we can engage in the mission of what his church is all about, his ministry is all about. So it's all about loving Jesus. Second of all, it's about loving people. About loving people. Gang, that's one of the hardest things that you and I will ever have an opportunity to do. Love people. Look at that person on your right, and don't spit on them, but just look at them and say, "You are a people." Yes, you are a people. And watch this, and you are hard to love. Hey, ask my wife. She'll affirm that, all right? I'm just saying. But we must love as Jesus loves, and you know what? Jesus loves people. Mother Teresa's words are these: "People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people will accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway, signed Mother Teresa. Just give them Jesus. Just say something good about Jesus. Hey, gang, we need to really waken up to this fact. We need to really be on track with this fact. We need to be ready to go and engaged in the ministry of Jesus and his church as we come out of this plague. Oh, by the way, we will come out of this plague. Come on. Hey, come on. The Holy Spirit's sorting out everything that has transpired. We will come out of this plague, and we are going to have a great opportunity to express the love of Jesus to this little community where God has this church in a powerful, powerful way. Something that will help us and encourage us is what Jesus experienced, and the event is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. With all that we've gone through, and especially this crazy plague, there are a lot of people walking around, and man, they are helpless like sheep out there. Come on. They need to experience the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. They need to know the truth of Christ. The Holy Spirit of God needs to break through in a powerful way and bring the light of Christ and the love of Christ to our world that has been adversely affected by this obstacle. Oh, let me remind you, in the midst of obstacles, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hey, not too long ago, we did our Easter gift away. By the way, that was our first annual gift away because of the obstacle of the COVID. We've had a kind of reset type thing a little bit. Hey, that's no problem. You got any problem with calling it our first annual gift away, Ken? Huh? Yeah, but no problem. We'll just call it our gift away. All right. So we were kind of back to square one type thing, and again, church did a phenomenal job. Y'all did a phenomenal job ministering to the people that were there in preparation and getting this thing ready and being prepared to lovingly touch those whom God would send this way. I had the privilege of catching. I was the last person of the church that they ran into. I was over here in the corner of the parking lot, and I watched people. I watched eyes. And you could tell they were at all different stages of this thing, having gone through this and still in the midst of this pandemic and working through it and stuff. And just looking at eyes and ministering to eyes. Some of them looked like they were right on. Some of them looked like they were shell-shocked yet. And God calls us, you and I, we who are here. He calls us to engage in his mission for his ministry. And it's being ready. It's being ready with open hearts and loving hearts to meet people exactly as Jesus meets people, right where they are. And let them see and hear and experience the reality of Christ. That's our privilege. In Jesus building his church. Contentment in the Lord. Engaging in his mission for his ministry. Are you ready for number three? Here comes. Wait a minute. That's serving. Let me touch on this. It's serving the world, and I kind of tied that right there. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Got ahead of myself a little bit there. So it's loving Jesus, it's loving people, it's serving the world. Following in the example of Christ, that's what we're talking about. And then I've got a challenge for you here. When's the last time you've been to Chick-fil-A? Anybody been to Chick-fil-A last week? Anybody want to go to Chick-fil-A this week? Thank you. You know what my granddaughters call Chick-fil-A? That's Jesus chicken. I'm going to challenge you to go to Chick-fil-A this week if it fits in your schedule. Just a challenge, all right? And I want you to listen and I want you to watch. Now, I know these people are employed by this company to embrace and engage in what they're all about. I understand all that, okay? But authenticity goes deeper than being employed in a job. Authenticity goes deeper than following the protocols within an organization, all right? If you look into eyes and listen to the tone of voice, take a close look and listen to the people that are serving you. They are kind and appreciative. They respond by saying, "My pleasure. My pleasure." They give us great insight in where we need to be as people in the kingdom of God, engaged in what it is that God has called us to, his mission. You all right? All right? Now, here's point number three. Point number three is a recap. Point number three, I'm going to take you back to where we were a couple of years ago, and I want to bring you to where we are right now. Okay? So, hang on. Here we go. We are all here to fulfill the Lord's vision for his ministry. That's an eyeball there. That's the iris of an eyeball. And what does it say in the midst of that eye? It says what? God-sized vision. God sees things a whole lot bigger than what we see them. We need to get a glimpse of what it is that God sees when he looks at this place. All right? That's the vision that we need to have. The following is being recommunicated from the message that I shared with you here on Sunday, November 17, 2019, a few years back. Comes from the text, Proverbs 29:18. In the King James, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." If we can't see things the way God sees things, we will die as a body of believers. Okay? In the NIV, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." If we're not captivating the vision of God, that means one person's going this way, one person's going that way, one person's going this way, one person's going that way. And watch this. A house divided against itself cannot what? Stand. Again, I communicated to you that on Tuesday, October 15, 2019, the Lord revealed the following to me. Talking about the resource that the church had out there along the lakeshore and Olive Shores. And it was to market the 17.2 acres of land which the church owns in Olive Shores. It was also to market the house and the 2.2 acres of land. Bear with me. The acreage is a little bit different, but you get the concept, okay? Of land which the church owns in Olive Shores. Note, we have a renter that has been promised that she can live in this residence for the next 3.5 years. So the sale of this parcel will have to come subsequent to the sale of the 17.2 acres. And then God reminded me of this, that the ministry is located here in West Olive, not on the lakeshore, not in Grand Haven, and not in Holland. He also reminded me of what this council has had on their agenda for a long time before I had the privilege of coming and serving you. And the words were these: believing God long ago established our church to serve the West Olive community. And it was to take that resource out there and put it into where God has put this church to expand and prepare this ministry for the future that God would have for his ministry here. Three steps. Number one, by expanding the physical structure of the church and building a multi-purpose structure to include a full kitchen and restrooms. Note, the will of those who bequeathed the property to this ministry was to positively impact the next generation of people in the community. What better way than to have a place that is safe, where people can come and minister to generations upon generations in this community who ultimately will be impacted with Jesus? Number two, by making necessary improvements in this physical structure right here. And I still hear myself saying, you know what? There's a lot of owies in this pretty place. And there's attention that needs to be given to this place. And that's part of the overall preparation for ministry that's coming. And then also by investing funds to generate income to financially sustain the ministry as well as sustain the existing ministry until we reach a census that can and will meet and exceed our weekly financial responsibility. And then I communicated the vision to the council at a Thursday, November 17, 2019 meeting. The vision was graciously and warmly received. I asked that the council keep this information confidential and spend the next 2 weeks seeking the Lord in prayer, allowing him to speak to their hearts. On Sunday, November 3, wait a minute. I got I got, that don't make sense. Take me for what I mean, not what I say, okay? That had to be October, I'm sorry, not November. I think. Don't get me all mixed up here. Where am I at? That was October, I apologize. That should have been October 17, 2019, all right? And then November 3, following the worship service, I met with the council again and received their unanimous support for joining, and received from them unanimous support for joining the Lord in the vision for the future of the ministry. And then you may recall that your elders stood before you. They were Ken, they were Bob, and they were Larry, and they spoke affirmation into what God was doing. And God just continued to move in an awesome, awesome way. I shared with you a couple of definitions that day on what vision is all about. I think they are dead red on. I want to share those again too. Bob Logan offers this definition. He says, the capacity to create a compelling picture of the desired state of affairs that inspires people to respond. That which is desirable, which could be and should be that which is attainable. A godly vision is right for the times, right for the church, right for the people. A godly vision promotes faith rather than fear. How many of you have seen the sign faith over fear in this last year and a half? All right? A godly vision motivates people to action. A godly vision requires risk-taking. A godly vision glorifies God, and it doesn't glorify people. George Barna adds these words, vision is the ability to understand the history, the present condition, and the potential of the church, and to conceive a plan for action that will maximize the ministry potential. More often than not, vision is a result of having spent much time absorbing the facts about the community, knowing the resources upon which the church can call, the people, the funding, facilities, equipment, etc., and devising sound but creative strategies for moving forward. Vision always entails progress. It never is satisfied with the status quo. That's what I shared with you back in 2019. I'm happy to report to you that despite the pandemic, despite the ungodly philosophy that is impacting our world, despite the division and the doubt, and the lies that the media that impacts us every day pours upon us, God is still at work and God is moving forward to fulfill this vision. Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Give Jesus a round of applause this morning, okay? And so we are here and we're moving forward, okay? Next slide, please, Milt. Here we are. As a church body, we voted to move forward and market that 14, it happened to be 14.5 acres of land north of the house there. To market the 14.5 acres north of the house, the property has been sold and netted the church $417,933.36, which has been placed in the Ocama Fund, overseen by three trustees of our church family, Kim Vanderswag, Cal DeBoer, and Hank Vornkamp. Phase one. Number next, the house and subsequent land south of the house will be offered first right of refusal to our renter that's there, with the closing of the purchase to be no later than May 15 of 2022. Thirdly, in a recent conversation this past week with Megan Heritage, and Megan happened to be the lady that reached out to me personally, and really it's the individual that God used as a catalyst to get this whole thing rolling down the line in a quick way. Rhett, you're right. When God moves, he moves quickly. Isaiah says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, okay? But when God moves, he moves quickly, all right? And so, in a recent conversation with Megan Heritage, she conveyed to me just this past week that the house, it's 2.2 acres, and the land and the remaining 2 acres south of the house could reach $425,000 to $475,000 at current market rates today. What's it going to be in May 2022? I don't know. but God knows. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Church, don't go slipping back. Don't go, oh wow, we got it made. Don't fall into that mentality, because it won't work, okay? God's got a plan, all right? Currently, we have a task force working together, formulating a physical design of what the expanded physical plant will be for the future ministry here at West Olive. Let me throw a segue into this thing, okay? We suffered some major damage in that parsonage over there. Pipes busting. We had the Poseidon adventure. All right, holy mackerel. New word this morning. Holy mackerel. How are we gonna work through this? There's an obstacle. All right. How does God want us to face the obstacle? Up and over. Up and over. Would you believe the flooding of the parsonage plays right into the plan for what God has planned for his ministry here at the church? There's our kitchen. There's our large serving area. There's our storage area. Tie the new facility right into the parsonage. Work it all together. It's going to be an awesome thing, okay? So the task force is working together, formulating a physical design of what the expanded physical plant will be for the future of the ministry. Once that task force has got an idea, and we just had another great idea this past week, and we're going to meet with the task force right after church today and talk about that thing. But we, watch this. The gentleman that wound up purchasing the land is a builder, is a great developer. Megan Heritage is a wonderful individual. Their hearts are warm and attentive to godly things. And they become a great resource for us to work together. And the architect is already in line. We were already blessed with a monetary response of $5,000 to take care of an architect. So once we have a picture, the picture will be worth 1,000 words, and we'll be able to communicate more. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's where we're at, church. All right? In the midst of all the opposition in our world today, in the midst of the frustration and the trials and the difficulties, God has given us the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has promised us he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we are here. We are here to know the contentment that is ours in the Lord. And we are here to engage in the Lord's mission for his ministry. And we are here to fulfill the Lord's vision for his ministry. Next slide, please, Milt. And I believe this with all my heart. I know God is working. So I what? Smile. I smile. I smile. In Acts chapter 5, verses 38 and 39, as I wind this thing up, it talks about an individual whose name was Gamaliel. He was a teacher of the law. He was one who instructed Saul of Tarsus in Judaism. All how to dot the I's, how to cross the T's. Paul knew everything in Judaism. Great teacher of the law. And then the Lord took Saul of Tarsus, transformed his heart, and he became Paul, the apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Gamaliel said these words, "For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." I'm here to tell you that the philosophy of Marxism, socialism, and communism, which history has proved, destroys people from the inside out, countries from the inside out, and destroys them. They have no power against God Almighty when God is on the move. I'm here to tell you that despite the lies and the distrust and all the garbage that our mainstream media is trying to impact us with and the shape of narrative, they don't have the power to overcome God Almighty when God Almighty's on the move. I'm here to tell you I'm here to tell you that a plague that has affected our world ultimately does not have the power to face God Almighty when God Almighty is working. I'm here to tell you that we have an opportunity to engage with God as He works. And as He works, He will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Despite any obstacles we may be facing, Jesus is still saying to us, hey, I am here. I am here with you. I am working, and I am building my church. Wow. Be encouraged with these words of the psalmist. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. What? Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the COVID-19 that destroys at midday. Do you believe that, church? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. That would be the devil. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May it be so for the people of God, who find contentment in Him, who engage in His mission, and who fulfill His vision for what He's called His people to do. Amen? Stand with me if you would, please, church. Father God, again, You've been awesome in this place. Thank You for Your truth. And now we, Your people, Father, in song, want to bless Your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.
Blessed be Your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be
Things before we dismiss, if you would like to spend time in extended prayer, let me encourage you and invite you to join the prayer team in the basement, the prayer room, right at the bottom of the stairs. Go left, be past the restrooms, second door past the restroom on your right. It's right there. They'll be there for you. Number two, let's connect with the task force over here outside the door here for a few moments. May God's presence rest upon you, loved one. May His Spirit guide and direct you, keep you, hold you, protect you, heal you, encourage, bless, and equip you in all things that bring glory to Christ as He leads you from this place into the responsibility that He's given you, remembering this fact that He wants to use us. He wants to use us to bring the reality of the kingdom to the world in which we live. Despite the hardship, despite the obstacles that are before us. Because He's going to build His church through us, by His power. And here's the good news. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Go in His peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.